Sharat.
Okay, so now I'll just read this three times and then we'll go on to the word by word synonyms. Pravishta karna randrena swanam bhavasaro ruham dunoti shamalam krishna salila shayata sharat pravishta karna randrena swanam bhavasaro ruham dunoti shamalam krishna salila shayata sharat pravishta karna randrena swanam bhavasaro ruham dunoti shamalam krishna salila shayata sharat. You can repeat. Pravishtaha.
Pravishtaha.
Thus being entered.
Thus being entered.
Karna randrena.
Karna randrena.
Through the holes of the ears.
Through the holes of the ears.
Swanam.
Swanam.
According to one's liberated position.
According to one's liberated position.
Bhava.
Bhava.
Constitutional relationship.
Constitutional relationship.
Sararuham.
Sararuham.
The lotus flower.
The lotus flower.
Bhunoti.
Bhunoti.
Cleanses.
Cleanses.
Shamalam.
Shamalam.
Material qualities.
Material qualities.
Like lust, anger.
Like lust, anger.
Avarice and hankering.
Avarice and hankering.
Avarice means greed, for those of you who don't know. Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Salilasya.
Salilasya.
Of the reservoir of waters.
Of the reservoir of waters.
Yata.
Yata.
As it were.
As it were.
Sharat.
Sharat.
The autumn season.
The autumn season.
Translation. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material associations such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like the autumnal rains, that means in the autumn, upon pools of muddy water. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. It is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. Thus one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee, like Narada or Shukadeva Goswami, and thus is empowered by one spiritual master, as Narada was by Brahmaji, can not only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion, but can deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional service or strength. The comparison to the autumnal rain that falls on muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the rivers become muddy. But in the month of July to August, the autumn season, when there is a slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the rivers all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemical, a small reservoir of water like that of a metropolitan waterworks tank can be cleared. But by such a tiny effort, it is not possible to clear up all the reservoirs of water like the rivers. A powerful, pure devotee of the Lord, however, can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others in his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, like the culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service to the Lord is so powerful that it can cleanse the hearts of the people in general by the devotional service of the pure, empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord, like Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc., can deliver all people by their empowered devotional service. By sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, paternal affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Not only were all the pure devotees like Narada self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus. And thus they delivered many poor souls entangled in the material modes. They became so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles by regular hearing and worshiping. By such actions, the accumulated material lusts, etc., become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. The Lord is always within the heart of the living being, but he becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be all right for the time being for an individual person, but it is like the cleansing of a small quantity of stagnant water by chemical processes. Such clarification of water may stand for the time being and the sediments settle down, but by slight agitation, everything becomes muddy. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good, whereas other methods may be superficially good for the time being, but there's a risk of becoming muddy again due to the agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with specific attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. Dunoti shavagam krishnaha salilasya yata shadat. So omagana timanandasha gudanjana shalakaya chakshuna medita yenitas mai shi gurave namaha. So the example Prabhupada gives, I have practically observed. I've been in India during the autumnal time. That is the Kartik season. And even more interesting, I took a tour of a water treatment plant once. Now, many times in the water treatment plants, they're taking the water from the rivers. I mean, that's normal. So they have to treat the water. And the water, I've seen the water, then they add a little chemical, and everything settles down to the bottom, and it becomes perfectly clear. And of course, then they have to filter it with other things. And unfortunately, they add other chemicals too, like fluorine and things like that, that are wonderful for your health. That's another issue. So that comparison is given to the process of devotional service, and then Prabhupada also contrasts that with other processes for so-called cleansing the heart. And these other processes can be compared to, let's say, fasting when you're feeling some material desire. Like if you fast, let's say if someone's really angry. By nature, you know, we find people who are angry by nature, quite common. And if they fast, their anger goes away. It's pretty interesting. They're just so peaceful, you know, peace, love, everything is so nice, you know, the world is beautiful. But then what happens again when they eat? They get angry because there's no energy for fasting, for anger when you're fasting. The same way with lust. You know, you can conquer lust for some time, but it lies there. The real problem is it's lying there as a seed. For example, in ancient Egypt, they used to bury their dead in pyramids. You heard of pyramids before?
Yeah.
And so not only did they bury the dead in the pyramids, they also buried the guy's servants too. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And they buried, you know, seeds so the guy could grow things after he comes out of the tomb. And they even put a boat in there. Why did they put a boat?
So
Yeah, they cross over the afterlife. Sometimes little boats, big boats, and things like that. Very interesting. So, what we're going to talk about is the seeds. The seeds were in there, they had seeds, and then 5,000 years or 2,000 years or whatever, not 5,000, a few thousand years later, they go into the tomb and get these seeds, and guess what? They can sprout them. Because the seeds still have life in them. Even now, they're uncovering these woolly mammoths. You know what a woolly mammoth is? That's like basically an elephant with a lot of hair on it. A hairy elephant. Who lived in the far north and far... Well, I don't think far south, but just far north. I don't think they lived in Antarctica. But basically the Arctic Circle. They were living there in Russia, Siberia. They're the ones who uncovered. And they're frozen in ice. And they can actually take the cells now, which still have some life in them, and make a new woolly mammoth.
Yes. Aren't they trying to do that with dinosaurs now?
They may do that too. Because the life is still existing there. You know, the cells are still existing. Of course, the question was raised yesterday. If he died and the soul went away, how can you bring him back to life? But the point is that even if that woolly mammoth died, each and every cell has life in it. You have billions, kind of interesting conversations during class. You have... So, you have billions of living entities inside your body. Maybe there could be peace, shanti, om shanti, shanti, shanti. So anyway, he turned off your phone.
Yeah, enough. Don't touch it.
So you have billions of living entities. You have... Anyway. I know what I'm going to say, but it's just like... I have to hesitate. I'm running a kindergarten here. So you have billions of living entities in your body, trillions actually. Not even billions, quadrillions. And they're all spirit souls. And you're the presiding deity. It's just like the earth planet has a presiding deity that's called Bhumi. And you're the presiding deity of your planet. The Keshav planet. Or the Ishav planet. Or the Radhe planet. Or the Kana, wherever he made the Kana planet. So, anyway, so then they can clone and actually bring someone back to life. So the point I'm making is that it's like the design. Well, I am tolerant. So I'll just keep repeating that over and over again. I am tolerant. I will be tolerant. So. So that's like the desire seed in the heart. We actually have two things. Not only the desire seed, which is called the bij, the papa bij. That doesn't mean the father bij. That means the seed of sinful desire. And we have the kuta. What's a kuta? No, a kuta means inclination in Sanskrit. Inclination means that you don't have a specific desire to do something, but under the proper conditions, the desire will come out. Is in other words, the potential, let's say. You know what potential is?
Yes.
Like you have kinetic energy and potential energy. Mm. You know the difference between?
Yes. Kinetic energy is like...
Yeah, like the car is moving.
Yes.
Potential energy. Potential would be, let's say I'm on the roof. And the potential would be to fall off, you know, create, that would be energetic.
Yeah.
Okay. Hit the ground, splat. So that's potential energy. So the kuta is potential desire. In other words, you have the inclination, that's your nature. For example, you know, let's say I'm sleeping and I don't have any desire when I'm sleeping because I'm unconscious. But when I wake up, then I want to eat. So that's the seed of desire. I want to eat. I'm hungry. Okay? So there's the kuta, the bija. And then when you have the kuta and the bija, then you get the activity itself. And then after the activity, you get the karma. And after the karma, you get your karmic reaction. Prarabdha karma, upaprarabdha karma. That means the reaction that's not yet manifest and the reaction that's manifest. You understand? We have some reactions that are still coming. We're not even aware when they're coming. That's upaprarabdha. Prarabdha means the reactions we have right now. How, what is the evidence of the reactions you have now? The way you look, your legal problems, your health problems, your problems with other living entities. That's prarabdha karma. Okay, that's interesting. So anyway, so you have, and then another result is, you know, then from the prarabdha karma, is you get more kuta and bijas. So it's like a cycle. You understand? This is nectar devotion talk. That you do something, you get your karmic reaction, but the part of the karmic reaction is you get more inclination to do something bad. So it's a cycle. So the problem with just doing austerities or not eating is the kuta and the bija remain. And as soon as there's an opportunity, it starts again. So that's the problem Prabhupada is pointing out here with the yoga practice, you know, the exercises. Interesting enough that the author of the Yoga Sutras, name is Patanjali. Keshav, you listening? The Patanjali didn't even give more than one exercise, one asana. And the reason for the asana, you know the reason he gave the asanas? Because you're sitting for such a long period of time, you don't want to get cramps and deep vein thrombosis, DVT. That's the whole reason. The exercises don't help you in any way, except keeping you from getting DVT. You know what DVT is? Deep vein thrombosis. That means a clot in your veins, so it goes to your brain and kills you. Because, you know, yogi has to sit like this for, what, 1,000 years, or even a few hours, it can get pretty dangerous. So in other words, that was the purpose of all the asanas, but ultimately the point is to control the mind. Yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Anyway, I'm not going to go over the whole yoga system now. But still, that doesn't clean the kuta, the bija, and the heart. Just like little babies, they don't appear to have any lusty desires, right? They appear very cute.
They're really maniacs.
But then, you never know when they get mature what they're going to be like. It's like you're rolling dice. Even Ravana, I'm sure he was cute as the dickens when he was a little baby. Right? I mean, it's not that he was like bad, like when he was just like 2 months old. He was cute and everybody was playing with him. But then his real self manifested. And you see this all the time with children as they grow up. That their real self manifests. I mean, of course, by proper training in Krishna consciousness, that real self can be transformed. That is, their desires can be transformed if they're exposed to the holy names. So even someone who's born or comes out with demoniac qualities, they can actually become transformed by the process of Krishna consciousness. You know, there's two things with children, is nature and nurture. Nature means what they're born with, including the kuta and the bija and the heart, that later on manifests when they get to maturity. When they hit puberty, it says, oh my God, what happened? They were so cute before. And then, that's nature. And then nurture is what you're doing with them in the meantime. So by nurture, basically, a devotee can become a demon. And by nurture, a demon can become a devotee. Just like the story of Krishna's own son, Bhoma. He was Krishna and Bhumi's sons. Great parents, great genetics. You know, you have Krishna genetics, isn't it? Your genes basically chant Hare Krishna, you know. Can you imagine, Krishna's your... Who's your father? Oh, Krishna. Who's your mother? Bhumi. Pretty good, isn't it? What's your gotra? I don't even know what your gotra would be then, at that point. Anyway, so he was nice, but then he had some bad association with some other people, and he became a demon. And yet Valmiki, who was really bad, he had good association with Narada Muni, especially with the chanting of the holy names, he became really good. So basically, everything is based upon the hearing process. Not upon what exercises you do externally, not upon some, you know, mental jugglery. Like Buddhism, that's what Buddhism advocates. You know. Basically adjusting your mind, you know, material world suffering, give up the attachment, give up the suffering and everything like it. But you can't do it. No. I mean, for some time you become peaceful. No. But then again, it manifests itself. Actually, it's interesting. You saw that movie last night. The Buddhists were spinning these wheels. Yes. Those are the mantra wheels. That's how they chant their mantras. It's an easy way. We should do that with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should write the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on wheels and spin it, and you get your all your rounds done in 10 minutes or less. That's the way the Buddhists do it. You didn't know that? Yeah. Those are mantra wheels. You saw the mantras on the wheels. You know, the written Sanskrit writing on the wheels at Devanagari. And they spin. Boo! 16 rounds. 60, 34. That's a pretty good method of chanting. Anyway, so the transcendental sound vibration, that means the Bhagavatam, the holy names, the sound vibration coming from the pure devotees, which is preaching Krishna consciousness, or any Krishna katha, basically, enters from the ear to the heart. This is pravishta karna rendrena. That's why the hearing process is so important. And Lord Kapiladeva also states in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Satam prasangang mama virya sampado vavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. He uses the word hrit karna. Of course, the same word for ear is karna. Some people think that Karna was called Karna because he was born from Kunti's ear. That's not true. Because of the earrings, yeah. Yeah, because he had nice ears and earrings. But, you know, he had these speculations that Karna was called Karna because he came from Kunti's ears. But anyways, or one of the ears. So, Pravishta Karna Rendrena. So, Rit Karna. Rit Karna means, basically, a very similar thing. Ritkarna means the heart ear. So there's a channel, Prabhupada described, there's a channel between the heart and the ear. And we're not talking about the eustachian tube, which is actually between the nose and the ear, which gives you trouble when you have a cold and you're flying in an airplane, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone's experienced that? You have a stuffed nose and you got a block in your ears. That's how you do it. You actually hold your nose and blow at your ears so they don't get damaged. But it's a channel, a subtle channel. And when you hear something, it affects your consciousness. Not only Krishna, Krishna katha, but anything. If you hear mundane music, if you hear mundane talk, that's what we talk about prajapa as being a impediment in devotional service, achahara prayasa chapa japa nimagraha. Because it enters in the heart. And it affects, it pollutes the heart. Mundane sound pollutes the heart. Just like if you have some Bollywood songs, you know. Your heart is getting muddied. Just like the example here of mud. It's like throwing stool on your heart. Literally. Not just figurative, well, I guess it's figurative. But you're not literally putting stool on the heart, that would be kind of dangerous. But it's like that. you're putting the mode of ignorance, you're putting the mode of passion in your heart. And any type of hearing that's not Krishna Katha or serving Krishna. I mean, we have to do things in this world, obviously. You have to get educated. And that, Krishna will protect you from that. But if we over-endeavor in mundane ways, then it affects the heart. And then it pollutes the heart, makes the heart dirtier. And then we have to clean it again with the chanting of Hare Krishna, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadvagni Nirvapana. You know that verse?
Yeah.
Sukshashka cleanses the heart. And the problem is we've been putting stool on the heart for many births. And it's caked on. You know what caked on means? That means layers. Like when you make a cake, you make it in layers.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Not all the time. I remember my favorite cake was layer cake, like chocolate and vanilla. And they had different layers.
Oh my God, that would be too much.
So that's what happens with the dirt. It gets layered on life after life after life after life. Finally, you can't even see what's underneath. Just like you went to see this one deity in India where they apply sandalwood. You remember the deity? It's like deity of Nrisimhadeva, Varaha Nrisimha, actually. And the deity looked like a Shivalinga.
There's so much in there.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That was Singhachalam. Well, they just keep pouring and pouring and pouring. And Prabhupada said that they put that much sandalwood on the deity because the deity would burn up everything. He'd get very angry. He'd say, rah, and Nrisimha. So just Prabhupada said to keep his head cool. So it's layer on layer and you can't even tell what's there. The same way the layer of the contamination on the heart is there, you can't even tell what's there underneath. It's so deep. You just see like lust and anger and greed. So, therefore, we have this cleansing process, you know, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes. And by the cleansing process, it's interesting, you eventually, just like the sun rises in the morning, Krishna describes this in the Gita, then you gradually see things.
Yeah.
And sometimes in the morning I look out my window here, it's really dark, because I'm looking to see when it's time to do Gayatri, actually. So it's really dark, then finally I see some shadows. Finally, of course, also saw the garbage truck this morning. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, the garbage truck is coming. So it's like, you see the garbage in the beginning. Isn't that, they come really early in the morning here. And so, then gradually you just see shadows, black and white, and little colors, then you see everything clearly after some time. So by cleansing, the first thing you get this shadow attachment to Krishna, which is, you know, a comparable thing. And you begin to feel some ecstasies. And then eventually you realize, hey, I'm Krishna's servant. That's the next thing you realize. Then it cleanses a little bit more. And then you become attracted to the various aspects of devotional service, like hearing and chanting, going to the holy places, cleanses some more. And ultimately it cleanses to the point, it says here, like Prabhupada describes, it sits on the lotus flower of one's loving relationship, that sound vibration. In other words, you realize who you are in the spiritual world. Prabhupada talks about that. He talks about dasha, satya, vatsalya, madhurya. What is that, Keshav? What's dasha, satya?
Dasha is service, satya is like the gopis.
No.
Friendship. And then
madhurya. Well, you left out vatsalya. What's vatsalya?
Oh, vatsalya.
You're giving him the answers.
Yeah.
Madhurya is what? With the gopis. So in other words, you realize who you were all along. That's interesting, isn't it? Like, Keshava, you have an eternal relationship with Krishna, one of those four types. You know, Shantaras is not really something we desire. It's just like, God is great. You're one of those four types. Do you know which four type it is? Which one it is? Who you are in the spiritual world? No. Do any of you know who you are in the spiritual world? No. Because all that covering is there. Your heart is just covered. As soon as you uncover the heart, wow, I'm a coward boy. I'm a cow. I'm a gopi. I'm a parent of Krishna. Wow, I didn't know that. That's fun. And then you forget about everything in the external world. Because then your real relationship is there. And then you could sit for hours just like, wow, serving Krishna internally. Like I told a story the other day, which was here, how there's one devotee who would sit, Srinivasacharya, he would sit and go to meditation for 3 days. And he'd be serving Radha and Krishna in his meditation. Kesha, cool it. So he'd be sitting, serving Radha, looking for ankle bells or, you know, anklet for 3 days. But she'd lost it in the water. And then his wife got so upset, you know, what is hubby doing? You know, hubby. The other word for husband, hubby? That's a funny word. So what is he doing? And so she called for his other disciple, and his other disciple, Ramchandra Kaviraj, entered into the same meditation. And they both together found the anklet from Radharani had lost. And that's what's in store for us. Stuff like that. That's pretty nice, isn't it? You don't have to do anything external. Except when you do that, when you come to that point, as Prabhupada said, you're inspired. Oh, here, Prabhupada used the word impetus. You have the impetus to tell others about it and to bring others to Krishna consciousness. So not only do you sit there and enjoy all day long, but you really want to bring, because if you're enjoying something, you want to bring all your family members together. And then if you're Krishna conscious, you see that everyone is your family member. Right, Kesha?
Yep.
No. Yet. No, you don't agree. Everyone is your family member because Krishna is your father. How do you know that your sister is your sister? Because you have the same mother and father. You don't call me your brother. And hopefully not your sister either. But you don't call me your brother because I have a different father and mother. Right? But if you find everyone having the same father and mother, then they're all brothers. Yastu sarvani bhutani atma nevanu pashati. And then you want all your brothers to come with you. Don't you? You love your sister, right?
No.
What a question. Yeah.
Hey, okay, do you love me?
I prefer not
to. He prefers not to say it on the grounds of being incriminating. Yeah. That's called in America, it's called the Fifth Amendment. Someone can't testify against themselves. So, no, obviously we love our family members. You know, I love my mother, my brother. But we see everybody's our mother and brother, just like it's peace, the peace formula, Prabhupada said also. And we just want them to enjoy like us. Isn't it? That's a devotee. If a devotee is enjoying, you want everyone to enjoy like you. So, that's what Prabhupada is talking about in the purport, and that's what this verse means. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments? Kesha, you're very attentive. What? So, what's the question?
Oh, I don't have a question.
Oh.
How do you avoid prajalpa in this stage?
It is very hard. Sometimes you have to have some prajalpa so you don't appear like a weird fanatic cult member. You know, you can't. You can't avoid it completely, so. I mean, you just like, there's like if someone comes to me and says, how are you? And I say, what's your name? And I say, I'm not this body, you know, it's going to be pretty freaky. You know, you go to the doctor and he says, well, you got some liver problem. I said, I'm not this body, I'm not this liver. Of course, sometimes if a doctor says, you're going to die in 5 days, you say, oh, that's okay. Doctors are sometimes shocked when the devotees respond to them. You know, the people in the hospice are saying, why is he so happy? He's dying. You're supposed to be depressed. You know you're not dumb. So, not really. They don't say that. So the point is, for ordinary social dealings, we got to just like talk prajalpa. Sometimes we got to talk about the politics. You know, if someone asks you, you know, who's the prime minister, and you say Bozo or something like that. You know, it's not going to look very good for our Krishna conscious movement. So you have to talk prajalpa. But not more than necessary. I mean, with friends sometimes, you know, you're playing soccer, you have to say, get him! Kill him, right? You don't say that?
Attack.
What do you say when you're playing soccer?
Attack, man.
Attack.
Yeah.
You never say, get him?
That's rugby.
That's rugby.
Okay. Like, get him means like,
attack. Yeah.
Attack.
And you never razz your other team? The other team?
Do what?
You never put down the other team.
No. If you do that, sometimes in our game, you get yellow card.
That's really unusual. We used to always do that when we played.
If you're off the field, you can.
Yeah, no, because we started competitive soccer now. So it's like tables.
Well, on the field, we always do that.
We're not allowed.
You're not allowed. That's good.
It depends what sport you play.
Yeah.
And if you say, and if you use bad language,
right? Not bad language. I mean,
yeah.
just say, you know, you can't hit the ball, you know.
Yes,
like
you don't have to say stuff like that.
No.
Yeah, anyway, I guess you're more peaceful here than Americans.
Right, it depends what league you play and where you
but
play
it. It's more about trying to keep the kids focused on
and playing.
Playing the ball or playing the men.
Yeah.
In school, when you play, you can use whatever put down, like anything, any language, but you just don't really care. Whereas when I play netball outside of school, if you use bad language, any put down, you'd be off the team.
Really? Anyway, I'll have to remember that next time I play. So, anyway, so some, the point I'm making is sometimes you have to use prajalpa. You know, how are you? Is it a nice day? How's the weather? You know, what's it like where you're born? You know, but not too much. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, you direct. Well, sometimes you can direct it and sometimes you can't direct it. Sometimes you just want to make friends with people. You know, just tell me about your childhood. You know, where you were born. You just want to make friends. I mean, that's part of relationships. Caring for people like that. So it's prajalpa is not necessarily bad when you're using it for the proper purpose. Just one has to be careful with it, not to get too much into, you know, just like, we don't want to get, like, absorbed in the news, but we want to be aware of the news. That's all. We want to be aware, just like I'm aware of so many things. I'm aware of the genetic engineering, the computer, the field, the politics, everything. But it's necessary in my service. All right, any other questions? No? I think we have to end. We have 18 people watching us this morning. We have Kana. He's watching us. I guess a different Kana. Madhava Sangani, Sumuka, Agari from Fiji, Sachi Mata from Fiji, Kishori from the spiritual world. She'll like that one. Mayapur from Hawaii, enjoying life. Haripriya, Sumuka, Jalpa, Eric, Radhamohan, Antoni, Sarojini, Gokul, Prema Madhurya, Vrindavan Chandra, Angelina again from the Balkans. A lot of people watching. Phew, can't even go through. Even Bhaja Govinda is watching. That's remarkable. Okay. So we'll show everybody our audience here. There's Keshav, the famous Keshav.
Hello.
Okay. All glories to Shiva.